Well, as we've been talking about extensively earlier today and for the last week, there is a firestorm up in Port Townsend, Washington, where an 80-year-old woman named Julie Jamon, she's been a patron of the YMCA for 35 years, but a couple of weeks ago she got kicked out permanently, they say, because she saw a, she described it to me, a person with a penis in the women's shower room with a group of little girls who are wearing swimsuits. And this was very concerning to her. But she's the one who's been permanently banned. She's the one who's being called transphobic because she said this didn't look right to her. Somebody who's been talking about this an awful lot, Amy Sousa, she is a women's rights activist. You can find her on Twitter and YouTube under the handle Known Heretic. And Amy joins us here on the Dori Monson Show. Hey, Amy, it's great to talk to you this afternoon.
Hey, great to talk to you as well. Thanks for having me.
I know this is a subject very important to you. Tell me why this hits home so hard for you.
Well, I am a rape survivor, which I have spoken about on my various networks. And I think that a very important thing is for women and girls to understand that they have the right of consent. They have the right to say no to men, regardless of the identity claims that those men may hold about themselves. And they have the right to have boundaries around their bodies. The YMCA right now is saying that they do not discriminate, but in fact, discriminating against women and girls on the basis of our sex is discrimination. You know, our foremothers, our foremothers fought long and hard. You know, they had centuries-long battles in order to provide things like single-sex bathrooms, single-sex locker rooms, single-sex sports, single-sex prisons. And they had this fight on the basis of our bodies, on the basis of having protections around our bodies because of our sex. So for the YMCA to remove safeguarding concerns for women and girls, to remove protections that we fought long and hard for on the basis of our sex, you know, that is sex-based discrimination. And well, I feel that...
And I don't mean to interrupt you, but I know that you've been very outspoken on the Leah Thomas issue. Now, that's an issue that's very near and dear to my heart. My wife and I have three daughters. They're athletes. In fact, my oldest daughter, she's going to Portland this weekend to play in a tennis tournament. If she hadn't played high school tennis, if Title IX hadn't afforded girls the opportunity to have the same sports pursuits that boys have always had, then, you know, my daughters wouldn't have this lifetime sport that's a big part of their life. I coached girls basketball for 25 years as well. And so when I see this encroachment of, you know, making all people gender neutral, it just defies biology, it defies reality, and it's not a good, healthy thing for our women and girls in society.
No, it's really not. And, you know, it's ultimately, it's a supernatural belief. You know, every single human being on this planet has a distinct sex. You know, there are two potential developmental pathways for humans in regards to sex. There's male and female. And once you are on that pathway, it's a pathway you are on for life. And I really like to make that distinguishment that, you know, I am not a woman by identity. A woman is not a who. It's not who I am by my identity. A woman is a what. It's what I am physically experiencing. It's the developmental pathway that I'm on. I've been on it since birth. I'm going to be on it until my death. There's no getting off the train once the train has started. And regardless of how I identify myself, what I am physically experiencing is a female developmental pathway. Now, the same is for men. You know, these men who make claims about their identity, it doesn't matter who they think they are. What they are experiencing is a male developmental pathway.
Well,
so there's no such thing as an unsexed human.
Let's talk about the real world consequences of this in your town, Port Townsend, at the YMCA. So Julie Jamon has been permanently banned from the Y because she didn't think it was right to see a person with a penis who was in the shower room with three little girls who were taking off their swimsuits. Now, I have since learned, since I talked to Julie yesterday, that the person, the Y employee in question here, goes by the name Clementine, that this person was actually the supervisor for these girls at a girls' day camp at the Y. Is that true?
That is what I have heard also. I personally haven't verified it, but that I have heard the same thing.
Okay. And so they say that they need to protect Clementine's feelings by not having Julie say that it's not right to have an 18-year-old with a penis, who, by the way, on Facebook identifies as somebody who likes women. So this is somebody who is attracted to women.
He's a heterosexual man.
What's that?
He's a man. He's a heterosexual man.
Well, yes. I don't know. I don't know the person. I don't know how the person identifies. But I know that somebody who goes on Facebook and says they like women and then is supervising little girls as they take off their swimsuits to use the toilet in a shower room, that just intuitively is not right. But they say they have to protect Clementine's feelings. As a rape survivor, don't they have to protect your feelings? The little girls who are uncomfortable next to biological men, don't we have to protect their feelings? How did it get to where women like you who have survived rape, little girls who have been brought up to know that they shouldn't be around naked men, what about their feelings? How has that been completely removed from the equation here, Amy?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought up the word intuition, because it really comes down to women and girls being able to protect our own instincts and our own intuitions. We have these instincts and intuitions for reasons of safeguarding. We have a sex recognition is a primary basic instinct. It is one of our most primary instincts. It's an instinct that resides in the basal ganglia part of our brain. It's not a prefrontal cortex part of our brain. And what Julie said about her experiences, she was in the shower. She was naked behind a flimsy curtain in a communal locker room, and she heard a man's voice.
Right.
I think any woman, survivor of rape or not, has that visceral feeling of thinking, I'm naked, I'm in the shower, it's just a flimsy curtain, there is a man in the room. It is not women's job to mentally analyze the reasons why or why not there may be a man in our room. It is our prerogative to safeguard ourselves around our bodies. You know, the FBI continues to report that over 99% of rapes are committed by men. Now, this is not to say that all men are rapists, but it is to say that the majority of rapes are committed vastly by men. Right. And women have to treat men like a loaded gun. You do not know which ones are going to go off. And that is why we have the very popular saying, good men stay out, so bad men stand out. The majority of men respect women's boundaries. They respect women's bodies. And this is communicating to women and girls that you do not have the right to have boundaries around your bodies for the sake of men's feelings.
Well, and beyond that, I would say that's a two-way street. I've been married to my wife for 35 years. I would never be comfortable being naked in front of a woman. I think that there are some things that should remain within the domain of marriage, and I don't think this is exclusively about women being uncomfortable in front of men in a locker room. It's vice versa too, because we are different. So for somebody like you, would it be traumatizing if you were naked in a shower room and there was a biological man in there?
Absolutely. I mean, I would have done the same thing. I would have screamed. I would have told him he had to get out of there. I would not have been comfortable. I would not have felt safe. You know, I would have responded with my instincts to protect myself and to keep myself safe. I don't know what his identity is or isn't. I don't know what claims he makes about himself, and I don't care.
Well,
I have to take my own safeguarding concerns first.
The mayor of Port Townsend says that you are transphobic then. He issued a proclamation yesterday. I think it's going to go before the council in a day or two here. But he issued a proclamation saying that we must particularly protect the feelings of transgender people. And I'm thinking, this sounds so un-American to me, to tell you and to tell Julie Jaman, and I don't know how those little girls felt about it, but to tell them that they're not allowed to feel the way that they feel in Port Townsend, Washington, that sounds horribly un-American when a government official tells people that they're not allowed to feel the way that they naturally feel about something. This is a bizarre world we're in, Amy.
David Faber is a huge disappointment right now. You know, regardless of what he thinks is best, he is laughing in the face of women's concerns. I posted about this on my Twitter, you know, do you think women and girls have the right to have boundaries around your body? He responded to me with zoopity boop.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was his response to me. This is the response of a public servant to a woman who is a rape survivor, who is asking what expectations I can have for sex-based protections around my body. He's laughing at my concerns. He is not taking my concerns with a respectful approach.
No. Well, he's too cowardly to come on my show. We've invited him to come on because he threw out a bunch of bogus stats to try to back up his argument. Okay, we just have a few seconds left. You are you putting together a rally on this issue?
Yes. So there is a city public council meeting on Monday the 15th at 6:30. Before that city council meeting, I will be holding a press conference in front of the city council office. I will be speaking. Julie will be speaking. There will be many men and women there from town and from the surrounding communities to voice their support and voice their concerns. We invite anyone to come who wants to be part of this, you know, press conference and peaceful rally to show support and to show that we all believe that Julie should be allowed to swim. We have a hashtag going, Let Julie Swim.
Yeah,
we want her to have her swimming privileges back. And we also want to show our support for women and girls to have sex-based provisions put in place for us and to not have those provisions when women and girls are denied provisions around our sex. We call that sexism. We call that sex-based discrimination.
Our women and girls deserve every bit as much protection and rights and freedoms as transgender people have been given by all these government officials. Amy, it's really great talking with you, and we'll stay in touch. I hope the rally goes well for you on Monday.
Absolutely a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.